Let's go now to the Word this morning and see what we can find in God's Word. I'm in a little series called Parables, the Greatest Stories Ever Told. Parables, the parables of Jesus, the greatest stories ever told. And today, we're going to look at the greatest story of the greatest stories. This is the greatest story of the greatest stories that Jesus told. And I tell you what, this is probably the greatest story maybe ever told. It's called the prodigal or the prodigal son. The prodigal son, okay? Or the prodigal's dad or the prodigal's brother, because there's so many facets of this story. Today our plan is to look at the son, to look at the father, and to look at the brother. Jesus told stories to his disciples. Now we looked at four parables already. They had to do with end time events. Matthew chapter 25, the disciples asked, what are the signs of your coming and the end of the world? And so we looked at those. Today we're looking at different subject matter altogether, because he told different parables, different stories in different situations, in different settings to make different points. And so this is a great, 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 great parable. And a lot of times people don't know a lot about parables, but this will be one they sort of remember. Even the world. People don't go to church. You say, oh, the prodigal son. Oh, yeah, I know a little something about that. That's how great the story is. So let's look at it today. Jesus told parables not to confuse people that wanted to learn, but people that didn't want to learn and could really give a rip, a lot of times they, I don't get it. You know what I'm saying? And he gave it that way for that reason. For those that want to seek, they'll find. For those that want to search for treasure, they'll get something. Amen? This is a little clearer than most of his parables. I mean, you can read it. Anybody can just read this and, yeah, okay, I got it. All right? But let's see if we can't find some nuggets, and let's see what we can do to dig a little deeper today, okay? Here we go. The prodigal. Look at that old pig. How'd you like to live with him? Say. How about leave your family, leave everything you had, and you go lay with him? How about that? And you can kiss him like, hey, I'm... Oh, yeah. Yeah. He has bad breath. Let's go with the story. Here we go, Rod. You ready? Nice pig. Prodigal. What does it mean? It means reckless and undisciplined. Say that with me. Reckless and undisciplined. If a person is a prodigal, he is what? Reckless and what? Help me one more time. Most of you didn't even know that's what prodigal meant. Now, am I right? Of course, you didn't know. You knew the story, but you didn't know that. Here we go. It means what? Reckless and undisciplined. So the prodigal son. So the prodigal son, sounds like he was going to be a reckless and undisciplined son. Is that right? He's going to be a reckless and undisciplined son. So we've got a little hint. If it's called the prodigal son, he's going to be a little reckless and undisciplined. Let's check it out. We're going to look at the prodigal son. We're going to look at the prodigal's dad. We're going to look at the prodigal's brother. It's not just about the son. It's the whole story. Let's see if we can get it done this morning. Here we go. The prodigal son. Boy, he was a sinner. Amen? Now, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But, I mean, he was a big-time rebel. You know, he was a pain in his daddy's rear end. All right? You hearing me? Just a pain. That's who this boy was. Luke 15, Jesus speaking, and he said, a certain man had what? Two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Give me my inheritance. And he divided unto them his what? His living or his inheritance. Now, usually wait till daddy dies, right? This is how much of a pig this guy was. I want it now. All right? Sounds like us today, doesn't it? And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a what? Far country. And there he wasted what? His substance with riotous living. Prodigal means reckless and undisciplined. All right? You give somebody who's reckless and undisciplined a lot of money, it's a good chance. They won't be very long. It will be gone. Amen? That's what's happening here in this story. And when he had spent all, you mean all? When he had spent what? All. There arose a mighty famine in the land.
Uh-oh.
And he began to be in what? Want. Oh, yeah. Had some problems. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. What country? That far country. All right? Probably in the area Jesus was talking, Sea of Galilee, and he was pointing as he's telling the story across the Sea of Galilee. And over there is the hills of Jordan. I've been there many times. Gadara. Pigs. Remember the story in the Bible about the demoniac? The guy was full of demons, and the demons went into the pigs, and they ran down the cliffs. That's on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So I can see Jesus, as he's telling the story, pointing over there. He went into a far country, and he joined himself to a citizen over there in a far country. And he sent him into his fields to feed what? The pigs. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave to him. I mean, this guy had lost everything. Hungry as all get out. He would eat the pig food. Did you see that pig? Look at that. How many want to see what he's eating? Say. All right? So let's talk about this prodigal son. Let's just learn this parable. Just teaching, just talking this morning. Hope you're all right. You alive? Say. Here we go. Good. I need you to be alive. The prodigal son lost his senses. He lost his senses, man. Guy's a little crazy, all right? He had no spiritual sense whatsoever. And that's who this guy was. I mean, you know, took from his daddy, went to a far country, lived like he wanted to live. His attitude was, say it with me, what? Gimme. One more time. Gimme. One more time. Gimme. If that's your attitude, gimme, 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 gimme. You're reckless and you're undisciplined and you're just a prodigal. Excuse me. And you have no spiritual sense. If all you think about is gimme, what can somebody gimme? You know, a lot of people come to church wondering what the church can gimme. Y'all hear me? Yes or no? We don't run fellowship church like that. Had a guy come up to me the other day after a service. And he said to me, gave me a card and said, I'd like for you to give me a call. If you're here, sir, raise your hand. Are you here? Well, I'm going to tell a story of whether you are or not. Here we go. Say, give me a call. I said, well, if you would, if you'd give that to my administrator out back, because I lose stuff. If you give me stuff, I'm sweating. It's going to get wet. It's going to stick to my leg. I'm going to lose it. I'm going to put it in the washing machine like most men do. That's what we do. Okay? So I was trying to be nice, give it to my administrator. And before I could get done, he said, well, I've called the office 3 times and nobody called me back. He said, respect me and give me a phone call. Now, I was just done preaching in a second service. I mean, I preached my heart. I was dead in a hammer. Well, the fact of the matter is, it's irregardless if we called him or not. No, we did call him, but that's beside the point. I looked at him. I was ticked off. I'll be honest with you, he had his hand on my shoulder. Had his hand on me like this. I don't know him. Had his hand on me. So I slapped his hand off. Right here in the church. I was right here. I'm an idiot. I know. But then I told him this. Listen to me. I told him at Fellowship Church, we don't play 3 strikes, you're out here. You understand? We're men. We're men. Okay? Grow up. If somebody doesn't call you after you call, you know what you call again. Isn't that a man? Yes or no? Say. Come on, grow up. You'll get nowhere in the world with that kind of attitude. Gimme, 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 gimme. And then to get in my face, that didn't fly, by the way. Are y'all hearing me? Yes or no? Okay? Listen. We're to serve. We're to serve. We're to help. We're to do. And plus, I knew that we had called him. You understand? Had I called him? Uh-uh. But he got a call back from our office. Not everybody calls the office, am I going to call? You might say, well, you're not a good man. Well, great, you go start your church and run it your way. Amen. Y'all listening? I know I'm being ugly. I'm not trying to be ugly. That ain't even part of the message. Roger, why'd you put that on the screen? Jimmy! That's not what we're about. We're about a fellowship church. How can I serve you? How can I help you? How can I bless you? And if you're new to us today, you need to learn that. Amen. Y'all listening or not? Yeah, come on, praise the Lord. Come on, yeah. Don't put ultimatums. When I called you, you just call me back. God help me. Amen? Yes or no? That's not how the real world is functions, people. Sometimes at church, we just don't, we're crazy. Y'all listening? I got a hush. Keep going. Far country. Keep going. Will you move the screen? He wasted the money. There was a famine that came. Problems. He joined himself to a citizen over there. We already saw that. Husk that pigs would eat. That's what he said, man, I'll eat that, man. He had nothing. And when he came to himself, say that with me. When he came to, one more time. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. When he came to what? Yes, himself. Or his senses. He said, I'm going to rise. I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to say to him, Father, I have sinned. You might say, Gary, why'd you call that man a sinner? Because that's what he called himself. And you and I will be a lot better off instead of making excuses if we call ourselves the way we ought to be called. Amen? That's what he did. He said, I have sinned. He came to his senses. Now he's starting to get somewhere. I've sinned against heaven and before thee. He's talking to himself. This is what he's going to go tell his daddy. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. Let's look. When he came to himself, what does that mean? Say it with me. He did what? You ever known somebody that just went a little crazy? Oh, yeah. How about you? You ever been in this? Anybody in this room? You ever just gone a little crazy? You lost your senses? You did things that were absolutely stupid. And you started living your life the way you wanted to live your life. Okay? But instead of blaming the church or blaming mom or blaming daddy, you know what you'd be better off doing? Blame yourself. Come back to your senses. Realize you've sinned. Realize you're the one who did that mess. Amen? That's what the boy did. That's what the story's saying. He had spiritual what? Yeah. He said, shoot, I'd be better off to rise right here and go back to my daddy and just become one of his hired servants than being out here not having a thing to eat, being at the place where I'd just be soon to just fill my belly full of husk. He ain't going to live long doing that, I don't think. Amen. Keep looking. He said, I'll rise. I will go. This is very important. I will say. Say that with me. I have what? One of the best things you never do in your life, as far as having spiritual sense, is to say, I have sinned. I have sinned. And tell God that. Instead of getting your feelings hurt, or instead of, come on. Wow. Just do it, man. He said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. None of us are. Amen? Make me a servant. That's what we all should desire. I've sinned. So that's the prodigal son. Now let's see what happened. Say that with me. The prodigal's what? Dad. Let's move the story. We're midway through the story now. The forgiving father. Can you say that with me? The forgiving father. Jesus continues the story. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, long way off, his father saw him. He had compassion on him. He ran. He fell on his neck. He kissed him. He arose. He came to his father. Keep rolling. Pretty self-explanatory. And when he was a great way off, his father did what? His father saw him, had compassion on it, and he ran to him. Why did his father run to him? Why did his father run to him? Why did his father run to him? Here's my opinion. Because his father loved him, but because he would have been stoned to death. Everybody knew what that wicked son had done to his daddy. Okay? And back in the day, when the Bible was written and they lived in that culture, in that country, and under Jewish law, he would have been stoned. Keep looking. Deuteronomy, if a man have a stubborn and a rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of the father, the voice of his mother, and that when they've chastened him, he won't hearken to him? Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, bring him outside the city to the elders, to the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this is our son, he's stubborn, he's rebellious, he won't obey our voice, he's a glutton, he's a drunkard. That guy was all that. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. So when the daddy saw him a long way off, before he ever got to the gate of the city, the daddy had to sprint. The dad had to sprint. He's sprinting because he knows if he doesn't get there quick enough, they'll kill him. That's what I believe. Y'all listening? Now keep that in mind. Jesus is telling a story. You've got that kind of father. You've got that kind of God. When you repent, when you begin to turn, when you turn and want to come back to God, you've got to realize you're not on your own. You're not. You've got a father who's sprinting to you. He's running to you. Because I hate to tell you, the church will kill you sometimes. Y'all listening or not? Your family will do what to you? They're a lot less forgiving, church folk and family members, a lot of times, than God is. Y'all hearing me or not? But you've got that kind of God, so you've got no reason on this earth not to turn from your sin and come back. Because you've got a Father who is sprinting to you. Isn't that beautiful? I love that story. His father did what? When he got to him, he fell on his neck. I love that. That's one of the reasons we like to hug necks around here at Fellowship Church. I'm from the South. We go, we're going to hug your neck. It's right from the Bible. Amen. I don't like people hugging my neck. What's up from the Bible? Hush up. He kissed him. Amen. It's good. It's okay. It's good stuff. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, and in your sight, I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. Keep looking. I've sinned. He repented. He repented. That's good, man. The father responds. Here's what the father does. Listen to me. But the father said to his servants, bring the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Put shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. This is incredible. The best robe. Wonder what the best robe was. Somebody tell me. Give him my robe. Wow. You ever feel like you've done something in your life and it's just so bad, there's no way you can come back? You can. You can. The Bible tells us that we have the robe of Christ's righteousness. Matter of fact, we're clothed in His blood, the precious blood of Christ. That's the best robe. You understand? The world and sometimes the church will tell you you can't come back. That's bull. You can come back. Not because of the world or the church, or even you, but because you have a great God. He's incredible. Put a ring on His hand. A ring speaks of authority. You have my authority. You understand? I don't care what other people say, son. You're part of me. Beautiful. Put shoes on His feet. Can you imagine how His feet were all raw and messed up and just awful? Bleeding. Bring the fatted calf. What's that talking about? I personally believe He kept one ready. He kept one ready because He was waiting for that boy to come home one day. You see that calf? You always keep one ready, baby, because he could be coming home at any moment. And God's ready for you. Is this a great story or what? I love this story. Let us eat. Be merry. When somebody comes back to Christ, what should our attitude be? Somebody tell me. Celebration. Let's throw a party. So often in church, excuse me, people come back to God and people go, well, you know what they did. I wish if you feel that way sometimes about somebody, you'd say it loud enough so we could hear you. And then we could get you and we could find out what you've done. Wouldn't that be fun, say? We'd fill the house up, wouldn't we? They just tell you, yeah, fellowship, baby. Better yet is when somebody comes back to God, we should celebrate, right? Let's throw a party. Amen. For this my son was dead. He's alive. He was lost. He's found. And they began to be merry. My son was dead. He's alive again. Hallelujah. He was lost and now he's found. Beautiful stuff. So the prodigal son, the prodigal dad, the prodigal's dad. Now let's look at this one. The last one, the prodigal's what? One more time, the prodigal's. So there's three big characters in our story. They all matter. Let's look at it. Sinner, forgiving father, and what? Pharisee. Phony. Fake. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music. Music. Dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked, what's happening at the house? All right? And he said unto him, your brother's come home. Your father's killed that fatted calf he had out there. Remember that fatted calf? Because he's received him safe and sound. And he was what? Angry. Now we know where some church folk get it from. And he would not go in. Therefore came his father out to him and entreated him. Boy, what? Aren't you glad we've got a great God? Say. Boy, if I was in charge, I'd just bust him in the mouth. Right? Aren't you glad that Gary ain't in charge? Say. Amen. Aren't you glad that old sister so-and-so ain't in charge, but that we have a loving God? He was angry. He wouldn't go in. Keep looking. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve you. I never transgressed at any time your commandment. I doubt that. And yet you never gave me a calf that I might make a big party with my friends. I served. I never transgressed. And these are commendable things. He was a good son to his father. He didn't ask for his money. He worked. That's true. These are commendable. But he said this, you never. Say that with me. You never. Would go ahead and look up. Look up to God. Would you do that with me? Just do it. You never. Would you please play with me here? You never. You never. This is pathetic. Okay? Pop it up, a little quote of mine. Here it is. You never. I do this and I do that. You never. Is never good. Anytime you go, you never, is never good. Did you hear me this morning? You never, is never good. I don't care what you've done. Don't point your finger at your forgiving father. Amen. Yes or no? Because your father forgives somebody? Because your father does good for people? Listen, you're going to point your finger. Have you lost your mind? That's what he did. But as soon as your son was come, which has devoured your living with harlots, out there with prostitutes, you killed that calf for him. And there we are many times. I'm going to tell you, friend, many times we point the finger at God. We put God down. I can't tell you the number of people I've counseled over the years that are bitter against God. They're angry against God because God didn't do things just like they thought he should do. That's the craziest thing on the planet. Don't let yourself have that attitude. But as soon as your son was come, you killed the fatted calf. I love this. Immediate forgiveness. I'm glad the old pain in the rear end brother's in the Bible because he taught me something about my God. And that is this. As soon as a sinner comes to God, he's immediately forgiven. There's a party going on, baby! As soon as one comes back home. Isn't that awesome? Immediate forgiveness. Now, it made him mad. Makes me happy. Amen? Because I see me in the story as the sinner. I don't know where you're at in that story, baby. But I'm so glad he's forgiving. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said unto him, Son, you're forever with me, and all that I have is yours. It was meet that we should make merry. It's the right thing to do to throw a party and be glad. For your brother was dead. Remember how everybody said he was dead? He was dead. He was dead. But he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He was lost. And yeah, look at him. There he is. Look at him. Look at him. He's right there. Isn't that incredible? We should be happy, son. You're always with me. All I have is yours, son. Celebrate with me. Celebrate with me. And be glad that your brother's here. Your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Hallelujah. What did we learn today? Are we close, Raj? What did we learn today? We're out of time. What? Is that a great story or what? Yeah, come on. Let's praise the Lord for the great story. And to be honest with you, I didn't have to do a whole lot to preach it today. You take away my two ugly or three little ugly stories I told, and you forget those. Amen. Two types of lost people. There's two types of lost people in this story. There's only one God. Okay? Remember that in life when somebody does you wrong, whatever. You remember that. You're one or the other, baby, in this story. Two types of lost people. Number one, pigsty. Pigsty. This is me talking to you. Pigsty. What did the first son do? He lost everything and he went and lived in the pig pen, didn't he? So that's one kind of lost person, that person that goes and lives in that old pig pen. Amen? And that's bad. The way he ran, what he did was terrible. It was awful. It was nasty. It was filthy. What he did was horrible. But there's another kind of lost person. Pew. Say that with me. Pew. Most churches have what in them? Pews. See, not every lost person is in the pigsty. A lot of them are in the pew. Looking down their nose at people. Criticizing people. Judging people. That's a lost person. There's two type of lost people. Pigsty or pew. And you know what I tell both of them? Let me hear it. Both of them stink. Amen? Pigsty, whoo! Church full of judging people, whoo! I don't want to be in either one of them, amen? Are you hearing me say? Amen? Yeah, come on, praise the Lord. I won't be in either one of them. Uh-uh. Get the message this morning? Did you get the message? The prodigal. One of the greatest stories, maybe the greatest story ever told. Amen? And I didn't do justice with it, but it's a great story. Amen? Let's stand together this morning. Thank you so much. God bless. Hang in here. Another minute.